Lichfield Cathedral, one of the oldest places of Christian worship in Britain, may seem a long way from Lexington, but recently two UK professors brought home a startling collection of digital images from a pair of ancient manuscripts that had been hidden away in the cathedral for centuries. William Endress is a professor in UK's Division of Writing, Rhetoric, and Digital Media. Noah Adler is Director of Research, Computation, and Application Development in Arts and Sciences. I'm Tom Goodell. Welcome to UK Perspectives, gentlemen.
Thank you.
There are two manuscripts that were involved. What are they and how were they chosen?
Yes, the St. Chad Gospels is a manuscript that was made around 730.
730 years into the modern era.
Yes, And it was part of my research. A number of years ago, I started working on the Book of Kells. I'm a visual rhetorician, and my interest is in how we integrate images and words in meaningful ways. Language has become, or for a number of years since the Gutenberg invention of the wonderful printing press, words have really been our most trusted means of communication, particularly for knowledge. However, before Gutenberg, images carried a lot of that weight. So what I was trying to do was go back to an earlier period of time where I could look at those practices, see their conventions, and see if I could get some ideas on things that we could do and bring into the current, our current uses of images.
And the second manuscript?
Is the Wycliffe New Testament. It was made around 1410. It's an extremely interesting manuscript in its own right. It was bequeathed to the cathedral, and so that it missed a lot of the list of Wycliffe New Testaments and Bibles until about 2008, I think, was the first time scholars actually had access to know about it. A lot has been learned about Middle English from these manuscripts, so it's a very important manuscript to have scholars to start working on and fill out information about that period.
You mentioned the Book of Kells, so that may give some of us who've seen that, seen reproductions of that, an idea of what we're talking about here. But could you describe some of the features of these manuscripts? I've seen samples online, and they're just amazingly beautiful. Each page seems to be a work of art.
They are just absolutely stunning. And one of the things that happened with me, because my background is more in technology, I was more interested in the current period. Once you start working with these manuscripts, they're just absolutely gorgeous. They're on vellum, which is calf hide, calf skin. And what calf skin does, it was a great technology in its time, because pigments flow very smoothly. A quill will flow very smoothly, and you can have smooth lines and really intricate details. So they're quite marvelous for this. One of the things that they do in these manuscripts is they have a cross carpet page, which has all sorts of interlaced figures on them. And normally you can see a cross hidden in the design in some way or fashion. They have portraits of the evangelist, which are quite wonderful and lovely. And to begin each chapter, a letter or two is enlarged to fill up a whole page. And the decoration, the spirals, the interlace is just magnificent to see.
And these were done by monks?
These were done by monks, yes.
And some of them, now I read on your website, some of them were female.
Yes. One of the wonderful things about the Chad Gospels is that there's three female Anglo-Saxon names in Dry Point. And what most likely happened with these is that the monks wrote their names in these gospel books so that they couldn't be seen, so that on the final judgment day, Peter would open the book, see the name, and you had a free pass into heaven. So it was a really good thing to have. So for women, names to be there suggests very strongly that they were working in the scriptorium.
Now, there is a website, so where can we go to see some samples of these manuscripts?
Lichfield.as.uky.edu.
How are you able to get access to these manuscripts? I mean, obviously they have been very carefully cloistered over the centuries to protect them. I understand that vellum tans like our skin.
Yes.
So they've been protected from light for centuries. How did you get to them?
Well, as part of my research, in looking at the Book of Kells, what they did for the Book of Kells, the monks took all of the insular conventions at the time, the ones that have been developed in the British Isles, and took them to lavish extremes. So trying to figure out what these monks were up to and the meaning of the imagery is nearly impossible. So what I started to do was looking and tracing back to earlier manuscripts. One of the important things about the Chad Gospels, it's the only manuscript that survives, that they layered pigments, which makes it gorgeous because when pigments crack, the play of light on cracked pigments is stunning. The Book of Kells, of course, uses four layers, so they're advancing the technology. So I wanted to look back at this manuscript. Every time I'm in England giving a paper, I always try to go to a number of cathedrals, look at the manuscripts, see what kind of access that I do have. But there had never been a facsimile made, and it's really impossible for scholars to study these without facsimile. But you also have the issue of digital preservation. So we know what these manuscripts look like today. You know, in 40 years, we'll still have those images, which is really important because, unfortunately, they're aging for us. So I was very fortunate. I ended up in my first day there. I worked straight on in the cathedral all day in a nice hard chair in the corner, looking at black and white images to try to figure out some of the features of the manuscript. And I think, in part, the canon chancellor, I struck up a good relationship with him, and the librarian, Pat Bancroft, who unfortunately has passed away. She was in her 80s then, still working as a librarian. Just a wonderfully agile mind, fabulous person. And I ended up and had a relationship with them, and we were able to go ahead and do this. One thing that helped as well is the Anglo-Saxon hoard, the largest Anglo-Saxon hoard, was actually discovered about 4 miles from the cathedral in 2009, which preceded me arriving at the cathedral to look at the manuscript by a couple months. So there was a lot of interest in the manuscript, and the canon chancellor was really interested in trying to let scholars work on these two manuscripts. So it was very helpful to make that happen.
Noah, can you tell us a bit about how these manuscripts were digitized? How did the process actually work of getting them put into these digital formats?
I've actually come to this project a little bit later. So they actually used a monochrome camera. Dr. Enders and some other faculty from the Viz Center put together a monochrome camera with multiple different lights. So the camera kind of just consumes all the light that comes in it, whereas most cameras have a filter to just limit it to visible light. This camera actually cycled through projecting different colors of light and just consumed them all as separate images at a very high resolution.
And I understand that it wasn't just visual light that was used, but ultraviolet and infrared, and there were also scans of different layers of these manuscripts. So what did you learn from looking, say, at an ultraviolet image of one of these illuminated letters?
Yes, the ultraviolet, what that allows you to do is it takes the inks and pigments that may have been worn and amplifies them. It pulls them out so that you can see things that the eye can't see. So this manuscript has been water damaged. So I was able to recover text that we haven't been able to actually read and see previously. The other thing is, as vellum ages, it turns translucent and you get bleed through. So sometimes it's difficult to tell whether you're seeing bleed through or if you're seeing actual ink pigment that is there. So consequently, with the infrared, you can work out how much is bleed through and how much is not. So one of the great features of the website that we've created, and Noah figured out how to layer these images so that anybody who comes to the website can put one image over another. So you can put the ultraviolet over a RGB image, a regular photograph, and actually go to more transparency and kind of let one bleed through so that you can pull these particular difficult-to-see letters and decorations from the manuscript itself. Mm-hmm. Let me just say one more thing about the ultraviolet. As you mentioned, that the vellum actually tans. So ultraviolet light is very damaging to the vellum. That is what really makes it turn brown. Like our skin, which can recover and replace itself, these manuscripts can't do that. So one of the hard parts about doing the manuscript was we needed to know that manuscript well because we only wanted to take ultraviolet pages of things that had scholarly impact on them. One of the things that happened with the Chad Gospels is in 1960, 1961, it was rebound. When it was done, it was very cockled, so it was flattened. There were many chemicals used. At that point in time, people really had a lot of trust in what chemicals were going to be able to do for us. And people, whenever they're working in conservatory means, they do the best that they can at the time. And so it's always hard to know the effect. But one of these chemicals does yellow more than we would like it to. So we had to be very careful with the manuscript. So in the imaging, I worked very closely with a conservator from the British Library to make sure that we only digitized and used ultraviolet on the images or on the pages that needed that to happen.
And since you made these digital images, have scholars been looking at them? And what if anything, have they learned from seeing these images now?
Yes. Just to have access to this manuscript is absolutely marvelous. They all have what I'll call a visual architecture to them. The pages relate to one another. As we deal with text, we don't think of anything about reading it all the way through to get the whole story. Well, images work the same way in these manuscripts. You can't just look at one image and get the whole story of the manuscript. So what scholars are able to do is actually look at the relationships between the pages and images to understand the manuscript more fully and how those images are telling us things about the religious understandings and the doctrine that was in place in these various communities, particularly at Litchfield.
Now that you've got this system created in place, you've used it for these two manuscripts, what's next?
There's a number of things that we still need to do just with these manuscripts as far as getting good transcriptions of the manuscripts, collating them against the Vulgate version of the Gospels and other manuscripts that were made at the same time. There's also the dry point glosses that I talked about. How we image, those do not come out very clearly. So there's ways of imaging a manuscript where you use a whole bank of light, and so that you have shadows moving across the page, so you can pick up things like dry point glosses where something is ruffled that you can't otherwise. The other thing that we're doing with the Chad Gospels at this point in time is we have 3D images, 3D models that we're making. Mm-hmm. And so the great thing about 3D is that it's got very dense data in it, so that you can take accurate measurements of the 3D images. So we're working on that to make a 3D measurement tool. It's very helpful to be able to measure things like holes or size of decorations for comparisons. So that's going to be a really great benefit for scholars.
Accessibility is obviously a key requirement, and one of the best ways that we know to do that now is the web. And so having these great 3D images and the full multispectral images is great, but having the delivery vehicle, you know, of the web so that scholars and students and the public can see these images across the world, you know, instantaneously is really a novel idea. So we've been working to set up infrastructure at UK. So we've been working on a Drupal system, which has gotten, you know, wide support around campus. It's a great flexible system, and it lets us go into a great level of customization for projects such as this one. So one of the big pushes for the future is going to be making those 3D images accessible on the web, you know, and this is all very emerging technology stuff. But we have a great student team. We're also working to, Bill mentioned the infrastructure. We're working on a system to bridge between Drupal and the campus kind of enterprise repository being built by the UK libraries. And that's really important for preservation, obviously. It's called an OAIS, which is an open archival information system, and they're taking great detail with metadata for in compliance with Library of Congress and international standards. And so we've developed a system in progress that can actually let us do customization on the Drupal side of things, but still get the benefits of that preservation system.
Which is very exciting because as a scholar, I can dump things in the digital repository. Noah can pull them out. And if I want to pull them out in a certain way for a class, I can. And so although, you know, we're looking at a project here where we're dealing with illuminated manuscripts that are fabulous, we can do that with anything that we really want to. So we're putting those sorts of structures in place to bring other sorts of content to the Commonwealth, which is very exciting.
So this could be done with the Mona Lisa, for example.
Yes, yes, it could be. Or if you wanted to go, you know, big and wanted to you know, do buildings or towns in Kentucky. You could image them in a number of different ways.
Really?
Pull out, you know, historic images. And the web is wonderful. The difficult thing is putting your data together in such a way so that people have easy access to it. To put images on the web doesn't help too much. It's how you structure them so that people have access and can use them is what's difficult to do, but is very exciting.
Well, thank you. Our guests have been William Endress and Noah Adler. A link to their website can be found at wuky.org, along with our complete UK Perspectives interview. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.